Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and turn on notifications so that you will receive alerts when there are new episodes. Go get it.
Been grinding for so long, I wake up and chase my goals. I go out and I go get it, hot or cold, that's all I know. I don't succeed, then I don't breathe. Success, what does it mean? If I conquer all my goals, then I'm living out my dream. Dig deep, go out and get it. Success Chronicles. Compete until it's finished. Success Chronicles. Go take care of your business. Success Chronicles. It's deeper than just winning. Success
Chronicles. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chip Baker, coming to you with another episode of the Success Chronicles. A little under the weather, so my voice is jacked, but there was no way I was going to miss this interview. Right? So I'm so excited to have Coach Amanda Wolfstram and Coach LaQuisha Dickerson on with us. Amazing ladies, man, trendsetters, great ladies doing some great things. And I'm so excited to highlight them and show them some love. So first off, coaches, ladies, thank you so much for taking the time to interview with the Success Chronicles.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us, Chip.
Of course, anytime. Well, let's dive into it. We'll just let each of you take a turn to just talk about your background and where you are now. So, Amanda, if you want to start first, we'll let you go. And then just talk about, and then Coach Dickerson will jump over to you.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Elgin, Texas, and I was a multi-sport athlete. And growing up, like, I had great coaches, people who influenced my life big time, from the high school to select to private lessons. My dad was my first coach. I had great coaches, and I got the opportunity to go and play collegiate softball. I've played at Fresno State University out in California. So I left Elgin, Texas, graduated in 01, went to Fresno, played there for 4 years. I got my criminology degree and was my specialty was like victim service work. And I did that for a couple of years in college. I knew that I always wanted to work with kids. I knew that that was kind of like what I wanted to do. And then when I saw, like, looking in my life, like what my high school kid or my high school coaches, my select coaches, what my college coach did for me, I decided that I wanted to give that to other students and athletes. And so when I came back to Texas, I interviewed at a couple of different places, and I got the head softball job at Bastrop, which is outside of Elgin. So kind of, I was around my hometown area, and I was there for 1 year. And then that summer, I got a phone call from my mentor, Coach Pfister, who was the girls' corner at Elgin. She coached me in middle school. She was the assistant softball coach when I got to high school. And she just said, "Hey, dog, we want you to come back home." And so I never thought that I would get to go back home that early in my career. It was a goal for me, but I never thought that I would get to go that early. And so getting to go back home is a super special thing. Elgin is a extremely softball-rich tradition program. Two schools to never miss the UIL playoffs in all of UIL softball history since 93. So I knew that I wanted to give back to my community what I received, right? Because my community was so great to me growing up as a kid. And I got the opportunity to coach there for 12 years. I coached two first cousins, which they were on the same team at one time, and just like got to coach other kids who their mom was my role model growing up as a kid. And so Elgin is where I met my husband. I became a mom. And then my husband and I, we always knew that we wanted to move to raise our kids in Smithson Valley's high school, just because of their tradition, right? And so Smithson Valley was always a goal, and I didn't think it would be this quick in my career again. Then in 19, the former head coaches called and said, "Hey, we're really retiring now, and we want you to take over." And they said, we're you know, if you want it, you're going to have to interview. Like, you know, it's going to go. So my husband and I, we prayed about it. We talked about it and made the decision to move to Smithson Valley. And I came the year of COVID. My best friend and I, we get the opportunity to coach together. And our first year was a year of COVID. And we were off to a fire start. And then COVID happened, right? And, you know, that was an incredible, like, just to see how much it changed, right? Education and how much of an eye-opener it was for us as teachers and coaches of how much we make an impact in kids' life, right? And so, you know, getting through the last couple of years here, you know, I have great mentors here. Coach Hill is phenomenal in everything. And so we've been here the last 5 years. And now with everything with THSCA, being a part of that, it's just been absolutely amazing. And, you know, I think that I'm at the second half of my career now, and I've noticed now that what I want to do the second half, right? Leave this profession better than how I found it, right? And help. And I think that that's kind of like my big goal now is to make an impact in kids' lives, but also in this profession and help the next generation of leaders come up.
So good, Coach. Thank you for sharing that. And you are doing that in a major way. So let's go to you, Coach Dickerson.
Yes, I agree. She is, Coach, you are doing that in a major way because if it's not for you sitting in the seat first, who knows if I get an opportunity to sit in the seat. I mean, I think with Joe and Glenn at the helm of this organization, you know, it was bound to happen. But I'm so grateful that I've had you as a model to watch the last couple of years and to come into this role as a board of director for this amazing organization because you are a trendsetter and I'm so glad to call you friend. So,
oh, girl, my friend, my family. That's what you are, Q.
Yes. Yeah. But a little bit about me, that was kind of one of my first times really hearing all of Amanda's story. And so we have some similarities and we have some huge differences. So I'm from Oklahoma, not a Texan. So born and raised in Oklahoma City, went to Millwood High School. Millwood is, the boys are actually playing right now in state championship. The girls lost a couple games ago, but my high school is kind of a basketball rich tradition. Football and basketball are the primary sports and we're always going to the state tournament. And so to hear that like Elgin is one of those softball schools that when people hear, they hear softball rich tradition. My high school is rich tradition, football and basketball. So, but I grew up in Oklahoma City. I'm the fourth of five kids. I'm the only girl. So I have four brothers. All of them are in Oklahoma City. I lost my dad in 2008. But my dad was a huge impact in my life. I don't come from a family of coaches, right? My grandfather raised me. And so I was a preacher's kid. I was raised in the church as a preacher's kid. And so sports in my house, it was cool, but it wasn't like an expectation, right? I picked up a basketball going to the local like YMCA or our rec facility when I was a little girl going with my brothers. And I picked up a basketball there. And I was kind of a late bloomer because I didn't play like biddy ball or anything. I think seventh grade was my first year playing like organized basketball. So I was kind of a late bloomer when you think about how early kids get involved in sports now. But I was a little church girl. I was always in the church doing something with my family. And so picked up that basketball in seventh grade, got to Millwood. Millwood is an independent school district, so it's pre-K through 12th. So I got over there in the seventh grade, moved in with my grandparents so they could help my mom, you know, raise me or whatever. And fell in love with it, fell in love with the people that were around the game, fell in love with my coaches, fell in love with the game, obviously. And where I was from, was kind of a rough area in Oklahoma City. And so I knew at an early age that I wanted to use sports as an outlet, as an opportunity for me to get away from the environment, but then to be able to pour back into an area that, you know, raised me, that helped raise me. So graduated from Millwood in 1999, graduated as an All-Stater, played in every All-Star game that Oklahoma had. Was one of the top players in the state when I graduated, and was blessed to play for Coach Arnelia Spears. She's still alive and kicking right now. She's retired, but man, if it wasn't for her and for my middle school coach, Don Willis, I don't know where I would have ended up. So my coaches saved my life. I mean, I really, truly believe that they saved my life. My brothers, growing up, they got into some trouble. And so my brother's story is not my story. My brothers were incarcerated when I graduated high school. When I graduated high school, three of my four brothers and my father was in prison. Not jail, they were in prison. And so I made it, they didn't get a chance to see me play high school basketball at all. And so I said, you know what? My mom has done an amazing job of working and being who she needed to be. My coaches stepped in. They picked me up for practice. They dropped me off at home. If I couldn't make it, if my mom couldn't do something or couldn't be there, I always had Coach Spears and Coach Willis to step in and help out. And so I knew that because those people did that for me, that if I ever got an opportunity to do that for kids, then I wanted to make that same impact. And so I did. They got me graduated, got me a scholarship to go play at a JUCO in Oklahoma. Got to play for Coach Krause, Greg Krause in Tonkawa, Oklahoma, up north. And did that for 2 years, was a preseason All-American at Northern Oklahoma College. Had a great career there, left there, went to Lamar University in Beaumont. That's how I got to Texas. So went to Lamar, was my first touch of Texas, went to Lamar University in Beaumont, got a chance to play for Deanne Kraft. And the cool thing about all three of those coaches, Coach Spears, my high school coach, Coach Krause, my junior college coach, and Coach Kraft, my four-year university coach at Lamar, I got an opportunity when I graduated to go coach and work with every single one of them. When I graduated college, I ended up finishing at Southwest Missouri State. Coach Kraft left the school. And so I was like, well, either I can go with her or transfer. And I wanted to stay kind of in the area. So I went Oklahoma to Texas and I just went right back up to Missouri. So I finished at Southwest Missouri State in Springfield, Missouri in 2004, graduated, went back to my high school and worked for Arnelia Spears, worked for Coach Spears for 1 year. After working for her for a year, my junior college coach, Coach Krause, called me and was like, Quisha, you know, I need some help up here. And I heard you're back in Oklahoma City. And, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, all right, coach, if I get to work with you, then yes. So took the job at Northern Oklahoma College, was there for a year. We were planning our regional tournament, which is actually happening next week in Oklahoma, but we were planning our regional tournament. And Coach Kraft was at the University of Texas Pan American, which is UTRGV now. So she was there, ran into her, hadn't seen her since I left. And so she, after a year, asked if I'd be interested in coming down to the Valley. And I was like, whew, that's a long way from home, right? But it's a lot of good tacos, a lot of good food down there, a lot of good authentic Mexican food down there. So I did. I went down to the Rio Grande Valley, and I lived in Edinburgh, Texas for 4 years and got a chance to work with Coach Kraft. She left and went up north. And when she left and went up north, I decided I wanted to spread my wings a little bit. And I didn't want to go to New Hampshire. And it's like, OK, coach, I followed you to the Valley. I don't know if I can follow you to blizzards. I don't know about that. Ah. Not being from Oklahoma, I don't think I can do that. So that's when I moved to the Houston area and got to Lamar Consolidated. My route to becoming, you know, to be in the position where I am now, when I tell people, it's a little bit backwards, because a lot of people start out at middle schools or they start out as assistant coaches. And then they've worked in the area of the field for a while before they get the opportunity to become a head coach. I was 1 year at my high school. I was 1 year at the junior college. I was 4 years at the University of Texas Pan American. And I came right to Richmond Rosenberg at Lamar Consolidated and became a head basketball coach. First time, first high school job was straight into the fire at Lamar Consolidated. And Mike Rice was the athletic director. Cool thing about him right now, I'm at Fort Ben Austin. He does our coaches outreach. So I get a chance to see him weekly or biweekly. But Lydell Wilson and Mike Rice took a chance on me at Lamar Consolidated as a 27-year-old girl that just had a dream, had a basketball and had a dream of doing what Coach Spears and Coach Willis and Coach Kraft and Coach Krause did for me. And so I dove right in at Lamar Consolidated. My first year there, I didn't hang a picture on the wall. I was miserable. I was so miserable. I did not. I knew I wasn't coming back. I said, this isn't this isn't for me. The kids were they lacked a lot. I don't ever want to take a position and then talk about the person that was there before me. But there was a lot of structural things that for me was different and wasn't a standard that I grew up in and that I wanted for, you know, my group. And so I didn't know if I could change that. I didn't know if I was too young to change that. But man, when I tell you after that first year of taking those lumps and those bumps and bruises at Lamar Consolidated, first half of the season, I mean, we're getting beat by 50. That's not fun. We're getting beat by a lot of points. And but I understood that without pain, there's no progress, right? And so I understood that there was going to be some learning pains that I was going to have to endure if I wanted to sit in the seat that I'm sitting in today. And I'm so grateful that I stayed. And I stayed there for 8 years, was a three-time coach of the year there at Lamar Consolidated. We won the district three of the 8 years that I was there and took a program from, you know, from being not talked about to being talked about. I've coached a player of the year there, offense. I mean, my kids won superlatives because of the work that they did and the work that my assistants helped me do. Left there, and then Virginia Flores, who is now the athletic director at Cy-Fair ISD, she was getting out of the game, and she was at Cy Woods. And we were in a conversation about her leaving, and I was congratulating her on a great career. And she asked me, have you ever thought about leaving Lamar? Because we would play them. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable, right? Remember, I was scared at first. And then I finally found my niche for 8 years. And I'm like, I don't know. And we were 4A, I jumped between 4A and 5A. And she said, well, I'm going to be out. And, you know, there's an opportunity. And, you know, if you're interested, you know, let me know. Prayed about it, thought about it, talked to my mentors about it. And I took a chance on the opportunity at Cy Woods and had the privilege of working there with for her. She was an assistant principal on campus. Got a chance to work with Ray Zepeda, who's now the director of UIL. So was able to make some connections. I'm going somewhere with this, but was able to make some connections with those people because I was comfortable. I was comfortable at Lamar Consolidated. You know, I could do my job in my sleep. I could not prepare at Lamar in the classroom as an English teacher. And I'm saying that, but I did prepare, but I could not prepare as a basketball coach and as an English teacher. And I was still going to be one of the best at my job in that district. And I was super comfortable. And so I said, okay, God, well, if this is to be, then prune me, show me that, you know, what I'm doing is great, but that what I can do is greater. And so I did. I got to Cy Woods. It wasn't the best. The work environment didn't work out for me. But one thing I'll say about when you find yourself in situations that you're not comfortable in, don't run, right? And don't be bitter because it doesn't work out. Take that as a learning tool and a stepping stone to get to where you are. And so during COVID, like Amanda, I took a leap of faith and left from Cy Woods, and I got to Fort Ben Austin. Fort Ben Austin was, I'll just say it, it was a bottom of the barrel basketball program. and people thought this has to be career suicide. What are you doing? Like, I just coached a McDonald's All-American at Cy Woods, and I'm going to Fort Bend, Austin. But Fort Bend, remember, Lamar Consolidated was in that Fort Bend area. It felt like home to me. It felt more like where I belonged. Not being from Texas, got to Lamar. And when I got to Lamar, I mean, sorry, when I got to Austin, Austin's girls basketball program had won over the previous 3 years, 20 games total over 3 years. And, you know, there's a lot of games played in basketball. So 20 games over the last 3 years. And so got in there that first year during COVID and tried to get kids to buy in and trust the process. And that was a little bit rocky, but got past that COVID year. That very next year, kind of like Amanda, I knew change was coming. I wasn't sure how quickly it was coming. And when I say that what I experienced at Lamar Consolidated, what I experienced in Cypress at Cy Woods was only the beginning of what it was that God had for me. You couldn't have told me then that I'd be sitting in a seat right now where I have the most successful program on our campus at Fort Bend Austin. Have made history every single year outside of that first year in my 4 years that I've been there. We finished a season the first year, 29-6, had never been done in the history of the school. Had never won more than 17, 18 games, had a 20-win season, made it to the third round of the playoffs, had never been done at Fort Bend Austin. Had the MVP of the district for 3 years in a row, has never been done at Fort Bend Austin. Not even sure if it's been done in Fort Bend. I had to look that up, but had not been done there. Came back the next year, doubled it, doubled down on it, and finished last season 29-4. Got knocked out in the first round. Seven Lakes has been a buzzsaw for us 3 years in a row, but got knocked out in the first round. But again, the second consecutive year in a row, to make history, second consecutive 20-plus win season, never been done in Fort Bend Austin. And this year, we made a goal, and our goal was to protect the culture. We've established a culture, and we wanted to protect it this year. And even though we got knocked out in the third round again, we played some of our best basketball this year and got over that 29 hump and finished this season 32-3. So over the last 3 years, we've lost, what is that, 16, so 18 games total over 3 years. And then getting that call from Joe and Glenn about and Libby and Brian about this position with THSCA, I sit and I think about how and why. Those were my questions to Joe and Glenn. How and why? Why me? How do you know me? Who? And they've told me that every single person that we've talked to when we were vetting for this position with THSCA, your name came up. And I'm like, my name came up. Like, I'm in Sugar Land, Texas, right? I'm not even from Texas. I've only been here for 15 years now. My there's some amazing coaches in this area, and they said, LaQuisha, you're it. You're the person. And I said all of that to say all of those things that I endured, being that little girl in Oklahoma City who could have taken the route that my brothers took and fell off the wagon and get an opportunity to for my high school coaches to pull me back, to call me and say, hey, I have an opportunity for you and I want you to come work with me, getting a chance to work with those coaches that poured into me. Now, whenever I have a playoff game or even sometime during the season, I'll look across the gym and there's a kid that I coach that's at the game watching me that didn't even tell me they were coming. They're just surprised, coach, I'm here. And so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that there are people like you, Chip, that give us this platform. I'm grateful for people like you, Amanda, that blaze a trail. And when I mean blaze a trail, I'm talking about light that thing on fire, blaze a trail, so that I can just walk right in, man. Like, I haven't had to move trees and brush and bushes because Amanda's already done that. She's already set a tone, and I just don't want to mess this thing up. I know she's going out, and I got the torch right now, and I'm so grateful that I get a chance to walk side by side with her. And you know, that's how I got here.
Man, such a great story and journey. Two things from both of your stories. First, coaches save lives, right? Coaches are important. The second thing is opportunities bring opportunities, all right? And so all of you talked about how, you know, you did one thing, but you put the work in, you continue to put the work in, then down the road, you got opportunities because of that, all right? And so, so good, so exciting. What's, for each of you, what's one key lesson that you can share with others that you learned along your journey?
You got it, Amanda.
Well, I mean, I have two things that are pretty neat. My first one would be the, if I said that a cool lesson in my life is not the being the first woman on the board of director, I mean, I would be crazy, because when I look back in my life now, that's probably going to be one of the most proud, besides being a mom and being a wife and being a mother and mentor to students and athletes and things like that. Being on the board of directors is probably going to be up there in my life, right? My life will never be the same, and I know that. But, you know, when I originally got into THSCA, I was on the advisory committee, right? And I have to be honest, and Q and I have had this talk before about how many people were naysayers and critics about getting involved with THSCA. There were so many outside noise. There was so much outside noise and outside people who were just like, you're never going to have a seat at the table. You're never going to have a voice. They don't, they're never going to have a woman on the board. They're never going to have this. They're never going to have that. Like, you're crazy to get involved right now in this. And, you know, Q and I both were first originally involved in THSCA for the academic All-State, right? That was like the big thing for our athletes. And so when I got in the advisory committee, I truly believed in what Coach Martin and Coach West talked to us about on that advisory committee. I believed in the words in which they spoke and what they said that they were going to do, right? Like, you hear people sometimes say, like, we're going to do this. I could tell with conviction, like, they were going to do it, right? And I was like, I want to be a part of this, right? So, I mean, a lot of people sometimes they ask, like, how did you get to where you are? I worked. What they needed me to do on that advisory committee, like, I was all about doing it, right? Like, the expectation, if you're going to be on the advisory, like, you're going to do these things. And I was just like, what can I do? What can I do to help you guys? You know what I'm saying? And so I get very emotional when I talk about the day in which they came to me and told me that, you know, they were, I thought I was going to talk to them about coaching school, like lining up like speakers, because I was the chair, and I thought, oh, this is what we're going to do today. And so then they start explaining to me what the at-large is, right? Like, why the at-large was created to bring about diversity and things like that. Right. And I'm like, oh, this is great. That's great. And I just was not, it was just like going over my head. And I was just like, yeah, that's great. And they're like, we want you to be the first woman. And I was like, I mean, I just emotion just came over me. And I was like, but I haven't, Q said it, I haven't done anything. I have not done anything. I've been involved for a couple of years now, like really involved in the association, but I haven't won a state title, right? Like, I could think of handfuls of other people that I thought like were more deserving than me, right? I could think of so many other people, not even just in my sport, but in other sports, right? Like, people that I felt like I haven't done anything here. Why me, right? And just like they told Q, it's about serving. And they were like, Amanda, you love to serve. And I literally told them, I have to think about this. Ooh. And people are like, what? Like, what? Dang. I would have immediately jumped. Like, I would have immediately. But all those critics, all those people that were just like, I mean, I could only imagine what it was going to be like now being on the, from the advisory to the board, right? And so I go to my husband, one, and my husband's like, Amanda, you do whatever you want to do right now. I'll support you. Like, I'll do whatever you want to do. And then I went to my mentors. I went to my college coach, Coach Wright. And a backstory to that, Coach Wright, she had me serve on a committee at college because Fresno State was found to be in infractions of Title IX in the 90s. So I had to sit on that board for three of my 4 years. And it was probably one of the best things, not even knowing, right, like what Coach Wright did for me. But she had me sit on it. And I called Coach Wright and was like, Coach Wright, like, they want me to do this. Like, what do you think? And she said, you can never be a bring about change unless you're willing to do stuff that nobody's ever done. And I was like, yes, ma'am. And I just, like, that was it, right? And then I went to Coach Hill at Smithson Valley, and I went to Coach Garfield, who was my athletic director at Elgin. And I called them and I was like, hey, what do you guys think? You know, like, what do you, and they were like, Amanda, if Coach Martin and Coach West say that they're going to do this, they're really going to do it. Like, this is so good. Like, this is so great. Like, what they are about to do with this association right now. And so then I remember, like, Coach Webb, Rodney Webb, calling me the next day and was like, hey, I was like, I'm in. Like, and I knew if I'm going to do this right now, I'm going to be fully committed right now to block out the outside noise, to not listen to anybody, because I have about six kids I knew that were wanting to go and coach one day. And I just kept thinking about those six kids of mine that I've coached, right? Like, I've got to do this for these kids right now. I've got to do this for the kids 30 minutes down the road one day want to be a coach, right? Like, and so I think that that is something that has been a cool lesson, to block out the naysayers, to block out the critics, to believe, if you believe in the work that is in which is going on, trust it. Trust that in your life, right? And also saying to that, like, Q and I have had a lot of conversations, and, you know, Q had said to me before, like, you know, pass the baton. I said, you have your own baton. You run it right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Q and I, like, she is amazing. Like, when I found out that Q was going to come on again, I was put over emotion, because I was just like, this is so amazing. This is so awesome right now that we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for the coaches in 10 years, in 2 years that want, you know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, that's been one of the coolest things. One of the awesome stories of my career, talking about coaches making an impact, Brandy Belk, who used to be with UIL, my first year of coaching school, she's talking to our softball coaches, because she was over softball, about, you know, like, these are our rules. Well, at the end, she commends our coaches on the work in which they do. And she shares about a coach in her life who made a huge impact. Brandy, in middle school, you know, her coach stepped up big for her in her life. And she shared that out with her, with our coaches, like, go off and make a big impact in kids' lives, right? And Brandy comes to me after, and I was like, oh, Brandy, that's so great. You know, like, and she said, Coach, you and me are linked for life. And I said, what are you talking about? And she says, you remember that coach I was talking about? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, Sherry Pfister, who coached me at Elgin, who was coached me in middle school, I mean, Coach Pfister and I used to play one-on-one basketball. When I played basketball in high school. She played college basketball, and she used to, we would play one-on-one after practice some days, and she would just teach me stuff. And then she coached softball also. And I mean, she was like a mom to me. I mean, Coach Fister's like a mom to me. And then I got to work with Coach Fister for 9 years. And Brandy said, "You and me, we're sisters for life because of Coach Fister."
Nothing like it.
I mean, and that is just, and I called Coach Fister. I left that room and was like, "You never told me that you coached Brandy Belk." You know, like she said, you've made a huge impact in her life, and were there for her when she, you know, she needed somebody. And I just like Coach Fister to me is like who I want to strive to be in kids' lives. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that's like, that's just like a cool story that I always carry with me. Like, I want to be the Coach Fister in people's life, right?
That's so good.
That's
That's
good.
so, man, so good.
The
And those
sisterhood,
connections.
nothing like it.
Yep.
Nothing like
Coach,
it.
what's one thing, Coach Dickerson, what's a key lesson you learned along your journey that you can share?
I would say, and I know now it's kind of become a popular saying, and it's kind of, I don't ever want it to become a cliche, but be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. And I'll even add to that. I was sitting here thinking while Amanda was talking, be where your feet are. But in my case, if it gets muddy, right? Stay with me. If it gets muddy, okay, don't stay there and sink, but don't take off running either, right? Be where your feet are. there was so many opportunities on this journey where it got really muddy where my feet were. I got to Lamar and I was crying in my car every day on my conference period because I missed my family. The basketball team was terrible. The kids were not buying in and it was muddy. And I could have either stayed in that mud and just sunk, or I could have jumped out of that mud and took off running. And if I did, I wouldn't have this opportunity today. So be where your feet are, but don't be complacent. And enjoy the moment. Enjoy where you are. Find the positive. Find the good things about the. There's good. I believe. I know some people do not believe, but I believe there's good in every person, and I believe there's good in everything that we do. Now, it may be a little harder to find some good in some people. But I believe, you know, God created all of us. And so if he's the creator and he created all of us, it's got to be some good. My good may not be your good, but I believe that. And so, and even in the situations, I found that if I had of, you know, ran from some of the challenges and some of the trials and tribulations, that I would have I wouldn't be able to be who I set out to be, which was who Arnelia Spears and Don Willis in my middle school and high school were for me. If they would have, I'm sure, I know on their journeys that it got rough. And if they had have run when it got rough, then I may have never encountered them. And so I try to remember that when I find myself in situations that aren't favorable for me, or they're uncomfortable, or they just don't feel like right. But I'm grateful that I can truly say that when I'm in a place, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not thinking about the next thing per se. I obviously want to elevate in my career. I obviously want to do something greater than what I'm doing now. I still have those dreams and those goals. But right now, where my feet are is where I am, and I'm all in. Positioning myself to learn and grow, but I'm right there. And then another thing I would say is, I know people talk about, you know, it's also kind of becoming a cliche, but it's truth, and I don't want it to be a cliche, is it's not about who you know, right? It's about who knows you. Amanda talked about when the coaches from Elgin called and said, "Hey, we're finally gonna do it. We're finally gonna get out of here. And we want this thing to be left in good hands. Now you gotta work for it, but we want it to be left in good hands." And so for somebody to pick up the phone and call you to say, "This thing that I love and I care for and I've nurtured to be what it is, I want it to be left in good hands," and they say you, Man, to whom much is given, much is required. So the fact that I can sit and say that the director of UIL, Ray Zepeda, was my athletic director for 3 years, and somebody that I get to call, friend, or somebody that I can pick up the phone and actually call, and he's actually going to answer. That's somebody that knows my name. And so when Glenn and Joe are reaching out to these people who I've made relationships with over the last couple of years, you want those situations and you want those people when your name to come up in a room. You first of all, you want your name mentioned in rooms that you're not in, but you want your name mentioned in a positive way. And so when you walk on this journey and you're, I'm a tough coach. And if you walk in the gym and I'm playing against a really tough opponent and my kids aren't rising to the occasion, you may look over there not knowing me and say, "Who is that crazy woman that is yelling at these babies to demand them to do something that they obviously can't do?" Right? I'm never going to ask my kids to do something that I know that they can't do. But I'm grateful that when people walk in a room and they see me in my element, that they see the passion that I have for this work, not just for the game of basketball, but the life lessons that these kids get to learn in the process. And so my story is similar to Amanda's when Joe and Glenn called me, or well, really it was Libby. And I'm in the Rock Mentor program with THSEA, and so always want to find ways to stay networking and to give back and to mentor other coaches, especially those ones that are not like right under my wing, not in my first mentor is in Dallas, and the one I just got last weekend, she's in Buda Hayes. I learned that it's not Buda Hayes. I learned that it's Buda Hayes. So she corrected me really quickly. But to get an opportunity to impact people, not just in the city of Houston, right? Not just in Sugar Land and Richmond. I got a mentee in the Metroplex, and now I have a mentee in the San Marcos in the that area. And so but always know that people are watching. People are watching what you do, and people are watching how you do it. And so when Libby reached out to me and said she wanted to talk to me, I was at the TASDA conference for athletic directors at Kalahari, and they were there presenting. And I had spoken at coaching school the previous year. I was also shocked when they called to ask me to do that, but had a great experience with that. And so I got in the Rock program and got me a mentee, and my mentee situation was rocky. She had some ex things she was experiencing on her campus. I wasn't sure if I was close enough to make the connection to help her. And so it was kind of a rough situation, and Libby kind of wanted to walk me through how I could help her and just some things. And she said, "I want to meet with you." And I'm like, "Okay." And so we go to this Italian restaurant at in Kalahari. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna go meet with her. And I knew who Brian Pope was, and of course I knew who Joe and Glenn were, but I didn't know who John. Those are the guys on the magazine. They run this organization. They're the dudes on the magazine. I just told Glenn that this weekend. But I went in the room, and it was like Amanda. They're asking, I'm like, okay, they want to talk about this this Rock Mentor program. They want to talk about how they can, take THSCA to the next level outside of football and outside of male sports and outside of this. Yeah, they're giving me a platform. I'm about to let them have it. I'm about to tell them what they probably don't want to hear, and some of the positive things that I think are coming from it. And we sat in that room, and Joe and Glenn are asking questions that, we started talking about the things that I thought we were going to talk about, and then it kind of ventured to, "Who are you?" Because they knew my name, but they didn't know. Glenn was like, "I didn't know who you were. Your name kept coming up, and I and a couple of people said your name that I admire and I respect. And when I heard them say your name, I thought I better get to know her, because if these people know her name, and they don't know each other, but they're saying her name, I need to get to know her." And so they asked me all these questions in this room that I didn't know I was on an interview. They were just asking about me and who are you and your background, kind of like what we're doing right now. And we left there, and we went on about the day into a meeting, and we got to the to the vendors where all the vendors come, and they were asking me, you know, they were like, hey, well, make sure you come see me before you leave. And I'm like, all right. We just talked for 2 hours, but okay, I'll see you before I leave. And I walked up to Glenn. It was Joe. It was Joe and Libby were standing, and Brian was there, and Glenn was off talking to somebody. And Joe, kind of like Amanda, started talking about the at large with THSCA and a little bit about. And I'm thinking, okay, we just talked for 2 hours. That never came up, right? And now it's like an hour and a half later, and we're at this trade show with all these people, and you know, what is this? And so he's talking about it, and he said, hey, when we were talking to you, we just really needed to put the icing on the cake. We really just needed to solidify that you're the person. And I'm like, the person for what? What do you mean the person? And they were like, explain the positions on the board and the 27 elected positions and the 3 at large. And I'm like, huh? And just like Amanda, I was overwhelmed. I held it together for the people, right? I held it together in the room for the people. But I immediately did not say yes as well. I said, when I'm in things, I'm all in. And my plate was full. Right. I had just become the campus athletic coordinator on my campus. We were in the process of hiring a football coach. So I was super busy with that. You know, my basketball program is taking off, and my athletic directors in my districts, Dina and Deb and Coach Rideout, they're empowering me. They're giving me opportunity. They know I aspire to do admin leadership in athletics. So they're giving me opportunities to do all these things. And now I'm already a rock mentor. I'm already doing, you know, trying to help Jamerson with the advisory. I'm already doing all these things. And you want me to do what? Okay. And so I was like, yeah, let me. And it was like, well, we actually don't want you to give us an answer right now. We want you to think about it. And I said, okay. When I got home and I reached out, like Amanda, to mentors and to people who I knew me well. And I thought about, just like Amanda, thought about all the people that when I encounter them and they tell me how impactful I am or something that I've said has impacted them, I thought, wow. And those people, they get to see me because I coach with them and I coach against them, right? They're right here in my district. I have an opportunity to impact people across a state. Not just a state, but the state of Texas. Like, right? Texas. And being from Oklahoma, like, this is, you know, and I was like, to whom much is given, much is required. You've asked for God to prune you. You've asked for opportunities and for doors to open. There's some little Black girls who will look at my kids walk in my office. Somebody got the canvas of the all of our pictures and that go out in the magazine. When you flip to page 2, all of our pictures are in the magazine. And my kids will come in my office, and I have somebody make me a canvas of it. And I haven't put it up yet. And they look on there and they're like, Coach, it's just 2 girls on there. And I'm like, I know. They look on there and they're like, who are all these people? Like, and I've gotten an opportunity to explain to my girls like what this is. And when I left from December, we had a game on that Monday night. And so our December board meeting was on that Monday and Tuesday. And so I left that Monday night after a game to go to San Marcos to our board meeting for, cause I didn't want to miss it. And of course, Joe and Glenn are like, you don't have to be here. Like, you know, you're in the middle of the season, you got stuff to do. Like, and I'm like, no, I said I was all in. I said I was all in. And my kids, I explained to them, cause I remember Amanda telling me that when she, you know, when her girls know that when she has to leave and go do THSCA stuff, how proud they are and how excited they are for her to go do that. And they realize and understand that what she's doing now is going to affect them when they graduate. And so, man, I'm grateful. But be where your feet are. Don't get stuck in the mud, but don't take off running either. Find your balance. And then, network. Make sure that when you have an opportunity to do things, that you don't think about yourself. Yes, you have to be the one to do it, and you're the one that is going to be putting in the work, but somebody else is going to benefit from the work that Amanda and I get an opportunity to do today. We're benefiting from it too. And if we stay in it long enough, I mean, I already see it. I already see the things that Amanda, the last couple of years, they're already impacting me. They're already impacting me. What Glo Joe and Glenn set out for Amanda, we're not just checking boxes. We're not just saying, hey, we need a female. Boom. Okay, now we need a black female. Boom. No, we worked. We work. We understand the grind. Amanda says all the time, ain't nothing soft about it. Ain't nothing soft about it. And so I really, really, really appreciate the platform. And man, I lay my head down sometimes at night. And when I'm thanking God for just my life and the things that I've been able to overcome, this position and this opportunity is always in my conversations with God. I still ask him how and why, and he tells me all the time, there's no need to know how, and there's no need to know why, right? You're in the how and you're in the why. You're walking in how. You did the work. That's how. Why? Because we need you, because people need you, and they need your voice, and they need your expertise, and they need your passion for not just helping, kids learn how to play basketball and the X's and O's, but impacting other adults. I mean, impacting kids' lives is one thing. That there's nothing greater than that. But when you get an opportunity to impact the lives of adults as well, that's the icing on the cake. Like, we get the best of both worlds. And it's not just the coaches on that. There was a little girl. I say little girl, sorry. She's probably gonna watch this, but Davis is her last name. She's a coach at Hempstead. I think she's a track coach at Hempstead. And when we were at the Rock Mentor thing last weekend, I got up to use the restroom. And when I got up, I'm walking and I see somebody like, I mean, they're like, I won't say aggressively walking, but they're like aggressively walking towards me. And so I'm like, do I run? Do I like? And she's like, eyes focused on me. And she said, I just had to meet you. She said, I was at the regional meeting the Campbell Center. I was at the regional meeting in February at the Campbell Center when you spoke. And when you spoke, when you got up and you spoke, and I made a joke about our group text with me and my brothers. Sometimes they forget, and they'll be like, "All right, I'll see you fellas tomorrow, or I'll talk to you fellas next time," right? And so I have to remind them sometimes. Really, it's Brian Randall. I have to remind Brian sometimes, "Hey, I'm not your brother, but I am your sister," right? But we joke about it. So I kind of made that joke at the beginning of my speech, when I spoke at the regional meeting, and joked about I was wearing a pantsuit instead of wearing a skirt suit, but I wanted nobody to make no mistake about that I am all woman, and I am here, to advocate for everybody in this room, but particularly women. And she remembered that, and she said, "I have to meet you. I had to meet you," and she wanted to take a picture. She took my contact, and I was like, hey, if there's ever anything that I can do for you, right? That girl's in, I can't call her a girl, sorry, that young lady is in Hempstead. She's young. She's new in the profession, so she's young. But she's like, I want to stay in contact with you. I just needed to meet you because when I look at you, I know that for me, nothing is impossible. I see somebody that looks like me sitting in a seat. In a seat that so many people want to sit in. A lot of people don't want to sit in this seat, but so many people want to sit in. And I just see how you're already making an impact. And I was like, okay, God, there's my answer, right? There's my answer to my how and my why. So be where your feet are, and always continue to network and do a good job at it.
Awesome. Well, as we close, I'd love for you guys, you ladies, to get an opportunity to share your social media where people can go follow you and check you out and show you some love with all of the amazing things you got going on.
I don't even know mine.
Well, if you see me, I had to look mine up.
I don't even
It's all
know
right. Take
mine.
your time. Take your
So
time. It's all right.
my Twitter slash X, whatever you want to call it, my X is the at symbol at Quisha, Q-U-E-I-S-H-A 4-4 at Quisha 44.
And mine is at Coach A Wolf, AWOLF, like the animal.
There it is. Well, I just want to say thank you, ladies, so much for blazing the trail. It's so important the work that you do and have done. And I'm grateful to know you, grateful to have you on to highlight you, and I'm rooting for you. With everything I got, I'm rooting for you. I just want to encourage you to keep doing your thing because it's truly inspiring.
Thank
Thank
you.
you, Chip, for having us.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies. And thank you guys for checking out this episode. We'll see you next time. God
See you at
bless.
coaching school, Chip.
See you at coaching school.
Go get
Go get it.
it. Go get it.